Welcome to the Panthers podcast. Max Henson here with Brian Strickland talking to you about the Panthers 33-30 victory over the New England Patriots. We're also going to have Will Brinson of CBS Sports join us in a little bit to talk about that win as well. But Brian, I start with the well, because I don't think many people thought we would be sitting here talking about the Panthers beating the Patriots on Sunday in Foxborough.
Yeah, I think Cam Newton was aware of that as well, as we saw in his post game about all the pick-ems that he had looked at. And it's understandable. You know, it was across the board in our picking it feature during the week that everybody picked the Patriots. That team's almost always picked at home, to be fair, in the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady era. But what a performance by the Panthers, right? I mean, we've been hoping for the offense to put it together, and boy, did it. And, you know, clutch play as well. Obviously, Tom Brady did what Tom Brady does and made it dramatic, but Graham Gano came through in the clutch.
Yeah, it's tough to figure out really where I want to start with this because there's so much to talk about when you go to New England and beat the defending champs. But I think you have to start with a discussion about Cam and not just his performance in that game, but what that performance, I think, means for this team going forward. You know, I tweeted this after the game. We all needed to see that again from Cam. It had been a while since you'd seen him perform at that level, accounting for 4 total touchdowns, passing and running the way he did. At a certain point in the game, he was completing 88% of his passes. Yeah. It was pretty ridiculous. Say what you want about the New England secondary. That's still pretty impressive in an NFL game, especially for a guy like Cam who gets criticized for his accuracy all the time. So to see that from Cam, I think, look, we all know this team is going to go as far as number one takes them, right? So to see him play like that, I think, is totally changing the conversation about this Panthers team.
It is, and I think we both felt like this was certainly possible, but I think we thought it was possible in time. I know the Patriots' defense was vulnerable, but supposedly the Saints was as well the previous week, although we see the Saints pitching a shutout this past week, so it's that, you know, week-to-week league. Things change so fast. But, yeah, to say I thought it would happen this Sunday, thrilled to see it. I mean, he got a little more practice time. I was asked about that after the game. You know, he, as much as anything and understandable, kind of said to help my teammates because obviously those guys have not had the reps with Cam. I mean, Cam is Cam when he's healthy in a lot of ways, but those guys had not had the reps with him, and it showed off, you know, in spades. And yeah, the Patriots secondary having some communications issues, certainly. I mean, individual talent is abundant in that group as well. And again, it's an NFL defense. It doesn't really matter about
coached
those.
By Bill Belichick. I mean, right. Those guys tend to do pretty well with what the pieces they've got.
Yeah, and watching, I'm thinking, okay, Bill Belichick halftime adjustments, you know, the master
Kirk Coleman
puppeteer.
Out, Demetrius Cox is in there now. There's a lot of things he thought they might play into.
Yeah, and obviously the Panthers dominated the first, you know, 15, 20 minutes of the second half, and that's when they really took control.
Yeah, because a lot of people, you know, were going to look at, I think, at the start of that third quarter, okay, especially, like I said, Kirk Coleman goes out of the game, Brady and McDaniels. Patriots didn't score a point in the third quarter, and I thought that was critical. Of course, the fourth quarter they made their run, but they didn't score a point in the third quarter, and that's kind of where the game started to – Carolina seized control of it a little bit. Yeah. And I thought, you know, to extend it beyond Cam, and we can talk for a while about his performance and what it means for this team, I just thought you look at the offense in general, Jonathan Stewart becomes the franchise's all-time leading rusher. It's kind of a footnote in this game, but the biggest moment involving Stu was his fumble. You know, the Panthers are rolling offensively. They get down to the red zone area, and then he fumbles it away. And you're starting to think, in a game like this at New England, is that going to be a critical error that's going to prove to haunt them? And I thought it said a lot about this team and this offense, which has been criticized so much, that right after that fumble, they come back in the very next drive, take it right down the field, and score a touchdown. And for me, that was a huge moment that maybe isn't being talked about as much in this game. Of course, you're going to talk about Gano's game-winning field goal. You're going to talk about the dramatics at the end. But that moment right there, to have gone through a killer of a mistake of Stewart fumbling right near the end zone to then come right back and score in the next
game. Yeah, it did feel like one of those turning points, the turning point series, like that's what they would have focused on, right?
Yep.
You could already see them working on it in the production room. You know, this
exactly.
is how we're going to talk about how the Patriots pulled it out. And then just the opposite. I mean, in fact, 2 consecutive touchdown drives, if I remember correctly, after that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, gave the ball to Stu to start out the drive right after that again. You know, it was kind of a quiet day for him because the passing game was clicking so much. But, you know, kind of, look, you know, with Stewart, kudos to him, like you mentioned, passing D'Angelo Williams later in the game for the all-time record. And I mean, the Patriots defense didn't make a lot of plays. I will say that was a great play by them. More on, you know, them making a great play than Stewart making a big mistake. But again, just the way the team, just kind of repeating what you said, Max, because you said it all. Just how the offense.
Thank you, Brian.
Yeah, no problem. Every once in a while, just how the way the offense bounced back, and of course the defense did the job in between. And yes, the Patriots scored 30 points, but I really didn't feel like it was a poor defensive day.
No, I didn't think so either. I mean, look, for the Carolina defense, they talked all week about we need to figure out a way to create takeaways. Well, they couldn't get enough. They couldn't get one against the Patriots during the game in that fourth quarter. I was like, that would be a pretty good time for that first takeaway in three weeks. It didn't happen, but I thought they did a really good job of, for the most part, keeping everything in front of them.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't let Brandon Cooks get by and beat him on any deep balls. They kind of made the Patriots earn it every drive. And look, they're going to earn their fair share with Tom Brady in that offense. But aside from, I think, a 43-yard catch by Gronk, they did a pretty good job keeping it in front of them. Didn't let the Patriots' run game get going too much. And as I said, to me, that third quarter, to put 0 points up on the board from New England's perspective, force a few punts that obviously allowed what we saw in the fourth quarter happen. Despite two touchdowns from New England, they got the ball back to the Panthers' offense for one last shot to win it.
Yeah, I mean, the defense kind of – I mean, felt like especially after Coleman went out and somewhat out of necessity, but game plan as well, went to kind of the bend but don't break mentality, allowing some of that underneath stuff, challenging Tom Brady to – score a touchdown on 14, 15 plays without making a mistake. Mm. Now, one side of that is Tom Brady does not make a lot of mistakes, and he came up huge on two fourth down situations there late,
yep,
or we wouldn't have even had the drama that we had. But I feel like the strategy still worked. Brady almost overcame it anyway with a couple of clutch plays. But, you know, also I thought the pass rush, you know, did a decent job as well. It's hard to sack Tom Brady, period, because of how quick he gets rid of the ball. So
just,
you know,
a couple
whole
sacks for Julius Peppers,
yeah,
by the way. Just a few more.
Yeah, what, he's what, fifth in the league now or something
no
like
big
that?
Deal.
So I guess he's still got something left in the tank. But, yeah, just, you know, bottom line, the game plan worked. And it worked. It added up to a huge victory.
Yeah. You know, and just one, you know, one last thought. We talk about football being the ultimate team game. That's the kind of cliche. Carolina defense the first 2 weeks – certainly did its part to get two victories.
Yes.
This was one where, you know, the offense now, it was time for them to kind of pick up the defense and opportunity to go win the game.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's what this offense was very confident they'd be able to do, and they did it. And speaking of going and winning that game, I don't think that was just something that was said in the final few minutes of that fourth quarter when the game was tied. All week, the Panthers talked about the fact that, you know, they expected to win this game. And that was, you kept hearing that in the locker room afterwards, and that was the first words that are on Rivera's mouth in that jubilant locker room after the game was, we expected this. And this is kind of fun for us to talk about, because I feel like, you know, we do this Picking It series every week on Panthers.com, and we're always looking at people like Will Brinson on CBS Sports, and what does CBS Sports and NFL.com and ESPN, what do the picks all say? Not a single Panther logo all week. People can say what you want. Players don't need that for motivation. They should be motivated enough. I saw that on Twitter. Why are they even talking about the picks that they're seeing or the spreads or what have you? But it certainly seemed like the Panthers were well aware of the fact that nobody thought that they had a chance to go up and beat New England. And I thought that was an interesting just thread throughout this game, too, was this thought of a team that was very much disrespected in a lot of ways.
And we've seen this before. I mean, it's, again, we talk about kind of human nature in this game and how it's easy sometimes to be overconfident no matter how much you fight it. It's also human nature, and particularly something about the buildup of this, the makeup of this Panthers locker room. We've seen it before, that they really respond to backs against the wall. They, you know, it's
that's true.
And it's bulletin board material, whatever you want to call it. I mean, you know, the Patriots, I don't think, put up bulletin board material themselves, but the media can take care of that sometimes.
Absolutely.
On their behalf. Completely understandable what the media did, but remember in Washington a couple years ago when they made it like their homecoming game for the Redskins?
athletes will look for any way to get a little extra motivation and a little bit of somebody's doubting me or somebody's doubting us. They'll go to any length to find it.
Yeah.
And when they and that's just, I remember that vividly. Yeah,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
The homecoming magazine in the locker room and how they use that as a rallying cry. Now, does that end up, you know, When we say something like this, in the fourth quarter of that game against the Patriots, I don't think in Cam Newton's mind he's thinking about, you know, those guys at ESPN.com, I'm really going to show it to here. No, of course not. But that's what I said. It's fun for us to talk about it after the fact. And it's a little fun for the players to talk about it after the fact because a bunch of them mentioned it. I love the quote from Ed Dixon, who told us afterwards that, you know, a lot of people had the Patriots winning this game before we even played it. Last time I checked, this is the NFL. Yeah. And as we talk about all the time, you look at scores of some of these games and you see a lot of things that people don't expect.
Yeah.
Saints beating the Panthers last week was another case of everybody had the Panthers winning that one, and the Saints clearly flipped that script.
Right. I mean, the key, of course, Max, the perfect formula is that somehow you don't let the opposite happen to you, that you don't get overconfident when things are going. Certainly that won't happen this week with a Lions team that we could easily be talking about as the one NFC unbeaten, having, I mean, the end of that Falcons game where they lost by an inch, like crazy end to that game. Without that, we're talking about them, like I said, as the lone unbeaten in the NFC, and you're going up there. That team's got it going.
Yeah, I mean, the Lions are a really good football team. Panthers have to go on the road again to face this Lions team that's got Matt Stafford and another, you know, top-tier quarterback. It's going to be a big-time challenge, and I think coming off this dramatic, thrilling win over the Patriots. That's the next question for this team. Is it going to be a springboard, or is it going to be, you know, just one great week and it doesn't carry over into the next? I mean, that's the challenge for this Panthers team right now. On that topic, I think, you know, this was something you touched on in your story coming away from Ron Rivera's Monday press conference, Brian. Everybody, especially in our roles, likes to compare and contrast what we've seen in the past.
Right.
You know, that's a fun kind of way to tell a story. And people are immediately looking, and Ron mentioned this himself, at 2015 at Seattle.
Right.
The Panthers beating that Seahawks team and drawing some similarities to this win over the Patriots. Do you buy into that? You see and feel like, that there is a lot of similarity there.
I mean, if they buy into it, then I buy into it. Obviously, if, you know, that's something that Coach Rivera believes and the team believes, it can be a springboard. I mean, again, we talk about how important mentality is and attitude, not necessarily in the fourth quarter of a close game, like you said, but as far as going into the game, preparation for the game leading up. I mean, it can't hurt to be like, you know, last week, we'll show them, you know, as you're preparing for the game. Do you lose that edge this week, or do you say, hey, remember Seattle, what we did 2 years ago, and how that was a springboard? Some, you know, a Seattle team that actually was struggling at the time as well.
What I think is a great point to make about all this, too. Yeah. Is that there are a lot of similarities here. Of course, you're going to two of the most hostile environments in the league. Just so difficult to win at those two places, at Seattle and at New England. So that's the first thing. Obviously, you're going against two really good teams. But what's interesting for the Panthers' perspective coming off of those two games is the almost, the asterisk being almost added to the win because of
the
opposition.
Caveat.
The caveat, that's a better word for it.
Yes.
In Seattle in 2015, at the time, Brian, they were 2-3, right? So that sent them to 2-4,
loss.
Yes,
correct.
So people doubted the Seahawks. Oh, they're not the same Seahawks team.
Right.
But, of course, they went on to the postseason that year. They turned it around, obviously. The Patriots, despite being in, and I know we've been talking about a lot of things our buddy Bill Voth loves, in picking it and power rankings.
Let's get those
in there.
But
the Patriots, arguably the top team in the power rankings, whatever that's worth. But still, you know what my point is. Now, all of a sudden, taking a ton of criticism. Their defense has, you know, they can't get lined up properly.
Yeah.
Having trouble losing track completely of wide receivers. And look, they're having some issues there. But I certainly think the Patriots would be a team at the end of this regular season that you're going to say is not, you know, in shambles.
Right. That Seattle team in 15 went 8-2 after the Panthers beat them and dropped into 2-4. Real quick, I'll also say that I think about the other side of that equation and last season, like losing a game like this and how the impact can have. The Panthers started out 1-5 last year. Obviously, that was really difficult. Got to 3-5, looked like they were going to 4-5 against the Chiefs here, and we were commenting during the game, oh, the Panthers have their mojo back. This is the turning point.
Yep.
And then, you know, blew a large lead in the fourth quarter, and they were kind of never heard from again last season.
Yeah.
You know, but then you look at 2015, you can keep using that as fuel. You know, you mentioned the caveat thing. How many times did we hear that year, this is the worst 5-0 team, the worst 6-0 team the league has ever seen, you know, and they love that stuff, you know. Say what you will about it, it definitely can help the cause.
Yeah, no, I think so. I mean, to me, the last point about the comparison about 15 and Seattle and this game against New England, I mean, there's something about going on the road, being in the visitors' locker room, and for us, when you walk into it after the game, you know when a win means a little bit more than your typical victory. And this was one of those. It was the same thing in 15. You can see it on the players' faces when they come off the field as well. There's something about going on the road to those kind of places, whether it's the Seahawks, the Patriots, these perennial powers, and to come away with a victory, it can absolutely be a huge lift for a team in a way that, you know, going on the road and beating San Francisco, you know, would not be. And that's just the reality of it. And I think Panther fans certainly hope that this turns out in a similar way to how 15 did. There's a long way to go and a lot of work to be done before that. You know, it can even be close to be said. But I did walk out of that locker room feeling like this was a big moment for this group, no doubt about it. All right, now we're going to turn things over to our guest that we've mentioned a few times, Will Brinson of CBS Sports, on our Bose guest line. Will, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Doing good, doing good. Hey, look, I want to get right to it on this Panthers win over the Patriots. Look, we do a thing every week on the website where we look at the picks all across the board from you guys at CBS Sports, ESPN, NFL.com, ESPN. Not a single person had the Panthers win this game. So I just ask you, what did you make of that final score when Gano knocked that one through?
Yeah, I mean, look, it was a stunning win. And, you know, I think what did Cam say afterwards? He was called on tape like, oh, you didn't do the pregame interview. Certainly the Panthers felt disrespected. Nobody picked him. I picked him to cover the spread.
Okay, there you go.
I thought it would be a closer game. I didn't. You know, it's one of those where I'm not going to take a whole lot of nine-point underdogs to win straight up on the road. against Bill Belichick and Tom Brady.
Sure.
That one was a good one to take, though. Yeah, I think what you make of it is after such an abysmal performance by the Panthers' offense against the Saints. And with how badly they struggled and how bland the offense looked too familiar against the Saints. It was almost like they were running plays that were easier to run, that had been on tape for a while. Trying to be different but also being the same, and you know, Cam not looking sharp, to see him come out and really sort of bring back some of that read option stuff, to let Cam be Cam, to explode offensively like that. Yeah, the Patriots might stink on defense. But God, I mean, look, that is a big time game for the Panthers, I think, in terms of establishing themselves as an offense that can be dangerous and threatening throughout the course of the season. And it was weird because leading up to it the week before, I think at least, you know, and I know in talking to folks, you know, in North Carolina that are Panthers fans and doing some radio around, you know, Charlotte and Raleigh and stuff like that, you didn't feel like the Panthers were 2-1, right? It felt like the Panthers were 1-2 or 0-3, and now they're 3-1 and sitting in a pretty good spot after beating the defending Super Bowl champs.
Well, before we get back into the specifics of the game, me and Max were having a back and forth about the pick'em thing we were talking about and the value of that, if there is any real value of that for teams kind of rallying around bulletin board material or feeling disrespected. I mean, can you chime in? What do you think about that type of thing?
Well, it's got to be worth something, right? Because I feel like every week there's some underdog that wins and then post on Twitter, like, "Hey, nobody picked us."
I think
teams know when everybody's picking against them. I think they, you know, they see, and you hear guys talk about it, they're like, "Yeah, we saw the pick 'em. We know that nobody picked us. You know, we know that everybody was rooting against us." Look, there's, you know, professional athletes become professional athletes because they are willing to put a massive chip on their shoulder. And you know, you look at the best teams that do it. I mean, the Patriots are the kings of doing this, right?
Yeah.
They, you know, nobody respected New England. Nobody believed in us. They do that. You know, they do that even when they're coming off a Super Bowl win. Or, you know, nobody believes that Tom Brady can succeed at age 40, like something ridiculous like that. So yeah, I think the pick'em stuff matters. I think the Panthers were in a situation where they said, all right, literally no one believes that we can go to New England and win this game. You know, it was. And leading up to it, it was almost a, you know, like, okay, if the Panthers come away with a, you know, looking all right on offense and play a little bit better on defense, that's a good moral victory with the loss. So, sure, I think they're, you know, you can rally around that a little bit. But ultimately, at the end of the day, you still have to go up there and execute against a, you know, a defense that is coached by a guy in an offense that's coached, you know, coached by a guy who's won 5 Super Bowl titles.
Yeah. Well, I want to get back to kind of what you mentioned about just kind of the mood around this team where, yeah, I mean, they went into this game 2-1, but it certainly didn't feel that way. And for me, I think a lot of that just has to do, like a lot of things do around here, just with Cam. What people had seen from Cam those first 3 weeks wasn't the Cam that we saw certainly in 2015 and really the one that everybody believes when he plays that way can take this team to contention for it all. But how much do you think the conversation changes about this team after what we saw against the Patriots on Sunday, where, as you said, he looked like Cam Newton again?
Oh, I don't think you can understate the difference in, and it's dumb, right? We do this all the time. We're like, one game shouldn't matter. It's just a result of one game. Let's not freak out over a single outcome. But you know what? I'm going to freak out over a single outcome. I think it makes all the difference in the world. The Panthers being 2-2 and coming off, you know, beating the 49ers and beating the Bills, and they could have lost to that Bills game. They should have won, you know, by 25 points in that game. They were a much better team that day. But, you know, if you're coming off a loss to the Saints and a loss to the Patriots, and you barely, you know, you struggled to really dominate two bad teams, and you're 2-2, you're one game behind the Falcons, and people are freaking out. And now you're 3-1. You sort of rejigger the way you look at this. Buffalo looks pretty good. They're 3-1 in the AFC East. Sean McDermott coaching them really well, obviously has an intimate knowledge about the Panthers offense, so maybe that helped him sort of slow down Cam and that offensive attack. And maybe the Saints are a little bit better than we thought. Maybe, you know, the Dolphins probably stink, but they, you know, the Saints played really good defense against them again, and I think they're probably a better team than we believed after the first 2 weeks. So, you know, you sort of adjust those expectations, and you see Cam playing well. And I mean, to me, coming into the Saints game, after going back and watching that Buffalo game, I thought Cam would have his breakout against New Orleans at home. You know, you put the Saints on the outdoors. You play against a defense that can be shredded, and it really felt like Cam would, you know, find his groove. And instead, he found it in New England. And it's if people have to spend another week worrying about whether Cam can be healthy and play at an MVP level, it was gonna, you know, have a negative effect on the team, I think. And instead, people say, okay, we know Cam can do that. He did it in New England. He did it against Bill Belichick. You know, we know this offense can be dangerous and effective. So moving forward, you have to think that the Panthers are indeed one of those teams that's going to be in the discussion for the NFC South, of course, and then one of those teams that's in the discussion for a wild card berth, depending on how things shake out in the division.
Will, you talked about kind of major swings in thought patterns between week to week. It's a week to week league and game to game. So I'm curious too. How do you react to what this defense is doing right now? I mean, and you know, in black and white terms, some people will say, well, it was Brian Hoyer and Tyrod Taylor the first 2 weeks, and it looked like a historically great defense. Now it's Drew Brees and Tom Brady in the next 2 weeks, and, you know, the opponent puts up quite a few points. What's kind of your take about the defensive performance Sunday and, you know, the defense on the whole?
Yeah, I mean, I think with the defense, what you are looking at is one of the 5 best defenses in the league. I don't worry too much about giving up 30 points to Tom Brady. You know, look, there are ways that you can look at this and say, all right, this is how the Patriots attack the Panthers. This is how other teams can attack the Panthers. But they bottled them up in the run. I think the Patriots would have loved to get physical in the run and try and limit the amount of time that the Panthers could spend on offense in that game. Tom Brady threw 45 times. You know, James White, and I thought this might be a factor going into the game, but James White heavily targeted out of the backfield. You know, 12 targets, 10 catches. But only 47 yards, and I think that says a lot about what you want from the Panthers in terms of, you know, you can give up sort of, you can let Tom Brady get these short receptions, but we're going to bottle him up and not let him break off big plays. And that's really what, you know, Hogan and Brandon Cooks did the week before when the Patriots came back against the Texans, is ripped off those big plays, adjusted on the fly, you know, nice job offensively. I think you look at the Panthers and you have a team that gave up 34 points to the Saints. That is Drew Brees. You know, give up 33 points to the Patriots. That's a concern, but it is Tom Brady. I don't put too much stock into, you know, hemorrhaging points against Hall of Fame quarterbacks. These next 2 or 3 weeks will be real interesting, though, and maybe even 4 weeks, because you have the Lions, of course. Matthew Stafford and Jim Bob Cooter on the same page. They haven't been explosive. They've just been win games. I mean, it's a very interesting team. You get the Eagles on that short week on Thursday night. You know, they're banged up in the running game. If they can limit LeGarrette Blount in that situation, you know, they can certainly lock down Alshon Jeffrey in that passing attack. The Bears will be starting Mitchell Trubisky more than likely 3 weeks from now, and then the Buccaneers on the road. Those four games are interesting because I think it's four games that the Panthers' defense can dominate. And if the Panthers don't dominate or don't have exceptional performances, then you really start to worry a little bit heading into that Falcons game. But I don't sweat it too much how the Panthers played against two Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the last 2 weeks.
Will, thanks for all the football knowledge you've given us today. I want to switch gears on you to basketball, not normally a part of the Panthers podcast. But I'm a Raleigh native, much like you are. I admire very much your Twitter photo of Jim Valvano crowd surfing. Yeah. And I got a little special thing to share with you here. I don't know how you'll react to this, but I actually have audio of me, Brian Strickland, reacting to NC State's 1983 title. So I just want you to give this a listen and let me know what you think.
They've got to drive to the basket. It's down to 7 seconds. You can see the time. Wittenberg, oh, it's a long way.
That's a real thing. That's real.
Yeah.
That is incredible. I mean, I gotta pull back the curtain a little bit here. And this, I mean, I don't know if this definitely makes me less likable. But I grew up a Duke fan before I moved to Raleigh.
I
was only two when the '83 title happened. So I'm younger, but I mean, like that is how I wish. Like I wish I was you reacting to that, okay? And being that age, because. You know, I got a couple titles as a kid, being a Braves fan and a Duke fan. The Kentucky game in that regional semifinal was incredible. But winning a title in that fashion as a kid and getting to watch it sounds like the most life-changing experience. Unfortunately, it has been a while since State fans have gotten to experience that.
This is true.
Maybe it'll happen again in football this year. About January 19th or something.
Well, it's special for me to be able to share that with you. That is one of my prized possessions that I have, that audio. If I ever write my biography, I'm going to try to include that audio clip somehow in there. Because, I mean, let's be real. That probably impacts why I'm sitting here right now and do what I do for a living.
Oh, yeah, 100%. It totally changes how you approach your life. I mean, it turns you into a diehard sports fan. I mean, if they don't win on the I'm doing air quotes here, on the pass. I don't know if they don't win if it actually changes it, but I would think it has a massive impact on you, and hopefully the pack can get it rolling. I think Coach Keats will get things rolling pretty good actually soon again.
Yeah, I hope every year it's going to happen again, Will. That was probably a once in a lifetime moment. Let's be honest.
Yeah, no, I mean it probably was, and I can't. Yeah, like I wish I was, you know, a kid in '83 getting to watch that live, because it is, and it's different too. Like, you're not sitting around reading Twitter while a sporting event is happening.
Oh, so
you are
different.
Locked into that television, and my favorite sporting moment is sort of like that. It was when the '92 NLCS, when Sid Bream beat out Barry Bonds' throw home.
Yep.
I was sitting on the porch with my dad watching. You know, we'd assume the Braves were toast. Braves were going to lose. and it was a moment like that. We're just screaming and shrieking and getting to watch it. That's why we love sports, and that's why we keep coming back.
Yeah, but you don't have audio of that, I'm sure. So, you know, the reason I have that, by the way, is because –
somewhere.
Yeah, you said how much things have changed with Twitter. Like, that is me on one of those old style recorders, you know, that you kind of, it has the handle and the buttons, and you flip out the cassette. And I didn't have a VCR yet, so that's me like recording the broadcast off TV and was able to capture that moment.
That's incredible. Wow.
Well, thanks for
thanks for humoring him, Will. Yeah, really is what I want.
Pretty
to say
much. Yeah.
Thanks for humoring him, and thanks for joining us.
That's gonna make that makes my day better going forward.
Well, I'm glad to hear that too. Will, thanks again so much, man, for taking the time. Hopefully, we'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, for sure, guys. Anytime. Take it easy.
All right, Will Brinson, everybody, man. you and your Riley guys.
Yeah, we're on a
roll.
Continue
to just have some magical moments. I mean, look, that is an, you know, that moment speaks for itself. The scream, I still, every time I hear it, I've heard it maybe 15 times now in my career here with you. But every time you hear that scream, it is, I mean, it just sends a little bit of shivers down your spine,
right,
but
right.
Also makes you laugh instantly. It's a weird thing that happens when you hear that. But I don't know if Panther fans had the same reaction when Graham Gano's field goal went through,
right.
But I know a lot of people are really excited
yeah.
about it. And just some people I've talked to about how good that win felt. Best win they've had, that feeling since that 2015 season. 2016
yeah.
was really tough. We talked a lot about how, you know, the team was going to try to right those wrongs this year. Seeing Graham Gano's field goal go through the uprights, I think Panther Nation, and as Will alluded to it, I think really it was a big moment
yeah.
for really everybody who follows this team. Because as he said, even though this team was 2-1, there seemed to be a lot of concern and a lot of questions.
Right.
And that that kick, I think, did a world of good.
Yeah, we'll see if that sets up for even bigger moments going forward. As we talked about, that possibility of momentum and, you know, just practically with Cam turning the corner. What do you think about this, Max? Super Bowl 52, Graham Gano lining up for a winning kick. You know, obviously no cheering in the press box. But what are they going to do when the game's over? Like, if Gano kicks the winning field goal in the Super Bowl, what do you think about me trying to replicate that scream in the press box for all to hear?
Yeah, I mean, look, I think the windows in the press box might shatter would be the one thing we'd have to worry about if you could get to that pitch again. I don't know if you're capable of getting to that pitch again. Obviously, 11-year-old Brian, you would think, is a little bit of a different tone
yes.
than what you – although you do – on occasion, we do see that high pitch come back, so I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe we'll all be lucky enough to see
it. Yeah, let's just get to that moment and see what happens.
What else are you looking for this next matchup before we send things out here? Detroit, Matt Stafford, we talked about it a little bit on the podcast. We had a lot of talk about the Patriots, and rightfully so, but just to push things forward, what are you looking for in this next matchup?
Yeah, I mean, again, like, it's arguable that the Panthers are playing a better team this week, but obviously pedigree-wise, you're not going to look at it that way. I mean, just where the Patriots are now. We know the Patriots will be there in the end, realistically, but, you know, they're going through something right now defensively in the versus the Lions, who are, you know, we talked about, you know, the offense doing it for the Panthers 1 week, the defense 1 week. Pretty much the Lions have been clicking on both sides of the ball, pretty consistent as consistency goes in the NFL. So just, you know, how did the Panthers handle that challenge? First game of the year on artificial turf, right? Would like to see, is that
well,
right?
Well, the Patriots have their own kind of turf. So even though it's an outdoor
Dome.
Stadium, it's
right. Yeah. You know, we've heard about the Panthers' speed a lot this year. I wonder how that will play off on that fast track up there. I mean, Curtis Samuel, we'd like to see him get back out there and be a factor. And but the other thing is, I expect it to be another close game, as so many are in this league. And that's another thing we didn't really talk about, is that the Panthers got back to winning close games with mm-hmm. this win, maybe got that mentality back, because last year 2-6 in games decided by three or fewer, and you get off to that type of start with that this year, that can create momentum, as in, hey, we've got this when it's a close game, and I expect another one Sunday.
Yeah, and then look, we've talked about the defense and them trying to get back into that form they had from week one and week two. It's a tough challenge going against Stafford and a pretty good Lions offense, but I'm very curious to see if maybe, as they always say, those turnovers, they come in bunches.
Yeah.
Maybe they finally start to come against the Lions. And if we can see that defense, look, their standard is 17 points or less, three takeaways. I mean, can they get closer to that standard this week? But look, if I'm being honest, it's all Cam, you know,
right.
Just wanted to see, had such a great performance against the Patriots. What kind of outing does he have in the week later in Detroit? Is he just going to continue rolling with this momentum, or is this going to be a real week-to-week thing? We're not really sure what you're going to get. How much is he going to practice this week? That played a big role in his success
right.
against the Patriots. So all things to monitor, and as I said already in this show, this team goes as Cam goes, really. And the big picture, ultimately, how far this team is going to go, it all rests on number one and that arm and those legs, and we'll see if it continues like it did against the Patriots. That would certainly put the Panthers on a path to success. Well, thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Panthers Podcast. We're going to send you out one more time with the voice of an 11-year-old Brian Strickland, who is as happy as I think anybody on this world has ever been. Thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy it.
They've got to drive to the basket. It's down to 7 seconds. You can see the time. Quentin Brown.